Well, we had another amazing Acts retreat with lots of beautiful sharing and the power and amazing grace of Almighty God. The Lord continues to amaze me each and every time. In congregation, I want to bet you that I can make these men have a hearty laugh with just three syllables. You ready? Dun dun dun! I just want to show you what a good joke teller I am. Three little syllables. Sorry for the inside joke. But reminds me of the story of the prisoners. And a new guy entered into the prison, and it was a big old bunk room area, maybe 20 guys. And one guy in the morning, they all woke up, and one guy said, 24. And they all started laughing. And then a little while later, another guy says, 13. Then they all start laughing again. Another guy, 9. And then they all laugh again. And the new guy asked somebody else, said, well, what's going on? And he said, well, we've all heard the same jokes over and over again, so we just assign a number, and then you just say the number. You know, it makes it easy. So then the next guy says, 3. And nobody laughs. And the new guy says to the old guy, well, what's going on with that? And he said, he never could tell a joke. But it is good to laugh today because it is Laetare Sunday, a Latin word that means rejoice. It's similar to Gaudete Sunday in the Advent season. It means that we are halfway through and the church wants us to see the joy of the upcoming Easter celebration. And so the church allows us to have some flowers, and if we had the rose-colored vestments, we could be using those, but we don't have a rose-colored dalmatic, so can't do that. And it's not my favorite color anyway. But we do get to lighten up a bit of this Lenten season and rejoice in the grace and the power of God. Francis Joseph Thompson, was a poet from England, 19th century son of Catholic converts, and he wanted to be remembered as the poet of the return to God. And I think that he accomplished that feat. He, as a young kid, 11 years old, was sent to the seminary, got out after a while from there. Then his father asked him to follow in his footsteps as a doctor. He went to medicine school and couldn't pass the exams, and he hated it. Finally went to the military, and they let him go within a day. And just nothing was working for him, but he really wanted to be a writer. And so he went to London, and because of ill health, he had to seek medical treatment. In those days, they would prescribe opium, and he got addicted to it. And started living on the streets and fell into great despair and destitution and homelessness. Still writing poetry all the time and wasted paper and so forth. And was actually rescued by the mercy of a lady of the streets who gave him some lodging. And finally, his poetry a few years later was discovered by a Catholic couple who were literary people themselves and took him in. And sent him to rehab at a Franciscan friary, Our Lady of England friary. And it was there that he had a powerful experience of the grace of Almighty God. He was looking at a cross in a field, and the sun was setting behind it. It was just a spiritual experience that touched him powerfully, and he came back to the sacraments and the grace of Almighty God in his life. And actually, towards the end, became a well-respected and known poet and spiritual writer. And he would often write about the cost of discipleship and the necessity of the cross in our lives. And because of all the hard life that he had lived, he never had good health. Finally, died of tuberculosis at the age of 47, but still with the sacraments and the grace of Almighty God in his life. And on his tomb are written the words, "Look for me in the nurseries of heaven. Look for me in the nurseries of heaven." And his most famous poem is "Hound of Heaven," not Elvis Presley's rendition of "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog," but the Hound of Heaven, in which he compares God to this dog that is always chasing after us. As much as we try to run from him, God is always coming after us. I'll give you a little taste of just the beginning of the poem. Of my own mind, and in the midst of tears, I hid from him, and under running laughter, up vistaed hopes I sped, and shot precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears, from those strong feet that followed after. But with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, they beat, and a voice beat, more instant than the feet. All things betray thee who betrayest me. For though I knew his love who followed, yet was I sore adread, lest having him, I must have naught beside. He was afraid that if he got God, then he wouldn't be able to have anything else, and that God wouldn't be enough for him. And the literary people say that the way he wrote this poem with the certain meter and so forth makes you have the sense of those, the beat of the dog prince coming after you and insistently, constantly, persistently coming after as God does for us. And our scripture today speaks about this return of God, and it is a constant theme of scripture of God's love. And then we've sinned against God and are sent into some kind of captivity and slavery of sin. And then by the mercy of God, we return to him, hopefully, as we saw in 2 Chronicles today, chapter 36, Israel sinned, adding infidelity to infidelity, and so they were sent off into the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. But then God raised up a new king of a different empire and allowed the Israelites to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. St. Paul gives us that same theme when he talks to the Ephesians and all of us, when he says, God who is rich in mercy, God who is rich in mercy, because of the great love that he had for us, even when we were dead in our sins, he brought us to life with Christ, the return, the grace. He said, it's by grace that we have been saved. It's a gift of God, the love and the mercy of Almighty God. As Jesus said, or as the gospel writer, John, in our gospel today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that all who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. John 3:16, our scripture theme for our Acts retreat, the famous football verse. Usually you see somebody hold up a poster, John 3:16, behind the goalpost when they're kicking the field goals because they want to evangelize. It is considered to be the little kernel of the whole gospel. It's all summed up right there. God's total love that he sent his son to die for us. And those themes of light and darkness, truth and falsity. All things that we discuss on our Acts retreat in very deep and powerful ways. And I think many men have returned to the Lord and returned to the church. And it's always a priest's dream to have these kinds of fruitful retreats in people's lives. And we've all experienced that. I have, and you have, in one way or another. We've all sinned and hopefully returned to the Lord and have asked him to give us that grace of perseverance. And so I explained to the men that, you know, this is a mountaintop experience. Unfortunately, we can't keep this emotional high going throughout all of our life. That'll be more like what heaven is. You've got a taste of heaven. But we can still have the spiritual high of being closer to the Lord. We have to go back into our jobs, into our homes and everything. And we also have an enemy who wants to try to steal our peace away from us. So be prepared for the little tricks and things that the devil tries to do to us. And it is so highly recommended, really a necessity, for you to get together in a small faith-based Catholic group to support each other, to have accountability, continued study, and learning more and experiencing more of our faith. So I hope you can all do that in a Come Lord Jesus group or any kind of little scripture group that you would like to form, or many other types of groups that you can be a part of to have that continued. Because without that, we'll just go back into where we were before. It's been proven time and again, but also those who have stuck with these small groups have produced incredible and great fruit and involvement in the church, and seeing this great community of all of our Catholic churches, wherever we are in the Diocese of Lafayette, as a great support of love and mercy of Almighty God. But I think those themes were all experienced in this retreat that we have just finished. I'll conclude with the last words of the poem, Hound of Heaven, by Francis Thompson. God speaks first. Whom wilt thou find to love ignoble thee? Save me, save only me. All which I took from thee, I did but take, not for thy harms, but just that thou might seek it in my arms. All which thy child's mistake fancies as lost, I have stored for thee at home. Rise, clasp my hand, and come. And then the poet responds, halts by me that footfall. Is my gloom after all, shade of his hand outstretched caressingly? And then God speaks, ah, fondest, blindest, weakest, I am he whom thou seekest. Thou drove away love from thee, who drove away me. And Francis died in the grace of the Lord, came back to him, found his true home in the heart of God.